Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview coming to you live here on your Thursday evening from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here in SC7 to look ahead to Saturday's trip up to the Riverside to take on Middlesbrough is Mr. Tom Wallin. Welshie Wallin, how are you?
Good. It's a lot nicer in here than when I was last in here.
Yeah.
No pies, but feels a bit happier.
Yeah, well, it's the first time we've seen you for a while, so we will discuss the news that's broken over the last few days. We obviously talked about it on Sunday, but we're still waiting for the takeover to be confirmed by the EFL. We're going to hear the latest on that from Lee Bowyer shortly as we get into the stride of the show. We're also going to hear from Bowes about the injury crisis at the club, who he's expecting back for Saturday's trip up to Middlesbrough. We're going to hear from Deji Oshalaja, his debut on the show, the summer signing. He came to speak to Terry after Saturday's defeat to Sheffield Wednesday. Also talks about how the crisis, the injury crisis, is affecting the players. And then as we gear up for looking more ahead to the trip to the North East to take on Middlesbrough, we're going to hear from Dom Shaw from Teesside Live and the Gazette. He lets us know how Jonathan Woodgate's side have been getting on. And then Bowyer gives his own little preview to the game as well. Right, Tom, I mean, this is your first show since it all kicked off last Friday, roughly 12 hours after our previous show finished, which is always the way. But your initial reaction to the fact that East Street Investments have agreed a deal to take over the club from Roland du Châtelet, just waiting for that EFL approval now. How did you feel when you saw the news?
Unreal. Absolutely unreal. And like Terry said on Sunday's show, I was in a meeting until about half nine. Came out and I had something like 78 WhatsApp messages. I went, wait a second, what's going on here? And then start to work my way through it. And just unbelievable. And everyone at work just kept saying, are you all right? Are you all right? And I was like, I'm just absolutely buzzing. Like, and one of the guys, I can't remember if it was him or Lewis, said they almost felt just so overwhelmed by it all. And yeah, I think all the fans reacted in that same way. It was emotional, it was exciting, it was constant refreshing for just any update on what the story was, who the people were, how many millions we had Ronaldo signed yet. There was just so much going on. And did a piece for someone today, just asked to answer some questions on the takeover, and said felt like a cloud had been lifted, like clouds are parted, sun was out. It just felt like such a weight off our shoulders to get that news, because it makes you reflect on everything we've gone through from the start. Because the last year or so hasn't actually been too bad, other than underfunding. He's kind of left Bowyer and that's the football side of it to it. And there has been chronic underfunding, so let's not play anything down.
And the contract issue as well with the manager as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's all rosy, but when you compare that to us having to literally stop games that were on TV in the middle of games to try and protest, I think we've come a long way. And it's credit to every single fan, it's credit to the players that are here now, it's credit to the management staff that are here now for what they've done to steady the ship. It's just fantastic news, and hopefully these last few T's are crossed and I's are dotted and we can get on with playing our football, because with a little bit of investment I think we could really go a long way under Bowyer.
Yeah, I mean, what have you made of the opening few days, or not even the opening few days yet, but your reaction to the people that are taking us over? Okay, so we know Mount Southall looking like he's going to be the CEO as well as the director, the money men over in Abu Dhabi, Tanun Namir. I mean, what would you make of the people and their initial reaction to their reception? Because obviously we saw Matt Southall got a great reception on in the fans bar and on Twitter and so forth, and he seems to be pleased with that. I mean, what have you made of that? What are your hopes for what they can achieve? And I guess finally as well, have you got any reservations as well? Because as I said on Sunday's show, 5, 6 years ago, we were delighted when Roland came in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's going through your mind in terms of that?
Yeah, I think first of all, in terms of who has come in, I'm excited, and they've certainly made the right noises. It's very early days, obviously, to see what their strategy is for the club and how they're attempting to build us. But just that initial statement, you look at that and they're making all the right noises. They're talking about fan engagement. They're talking about harnessing the power of the fans who, you know, I'm sure lots of clubs will try and say this, but these fans are completely unique in the way they've saved this club two or three times, you know, bringing us back to the Valley, everything that we've done. The fans really are the heartbeat of this club more than the most that I can think of. So harnessing that power could make such a difference. And that was the one thing Roland, just straight from the off, did the complete opposite and almost turned the fans against him. In terms of who the money men are, you know, I don't know a huge amount about them other than that. What I want from them, to be honest, I just want Boya to be able to compete. I think he's done that already, given no money. And I think he just needs a little bit of support from the owner in terms of some budget, a proper contract. Because I think the likes of him and Jacko and Gallen actually can, those three should be able to carry on and just slowly add to the squad that we've got. I don't want huge change, really. I just want them to come in and just give him a little bit of money and a bit of support. And then in terms of reservations, really, at the moment, I don't have too many. And that's maybe just because we don't know enough about them yet. This may sound stupid to some fans, but I don't want to become like a Man City if they have got that wealth, because that's not the club I support. And I know there are probably elder Man City fans who probably still struggle with some of that, you know. And I don't necessarily think we're going to become that, but I just want a team that can compete and can. I think Lewis made a good point. We want a team that can surprise us and, you know, up against odds, can pull out results like we have on several occasions already this season. You think back to the Leeds game, for example. So if they can just help Boya to do that, for now, that'll be fine. And if we can stabilise this year, maybe make a few good signings in the summer, over the next two or three years, if we can push towards that top six in the Championship, that would be absolutely fine for me. And then ultimately, obviously, look to get back in the Premier League and stabilise ourselves there.
Lovely stuff. Well, as we know, we're still waiting for the EFL to ratify the takeover, get that all through the fit and proper persons test, which, you know, I'm one who actually hopes it takes as long as they need, you know, because you don't want another situation like what we've had at the club, or clubs such as Macclesfield are going through right now. So, you know, make sure they do a thorough job. Hopefully it will be before January, which is probably the most important thing. The initial thing I was told was just, hopefully a couple of weeks, but you know, I'm sure, I think there was one at Wigan that took a hell of a lot longer than that. But anyway, we'll discuss that later. Lee Bayer was asked for his latest views on the takeover today. He reiterates that he believes the move is an encouraging one for the club.
Obviously, it's good. It's positive. Like I said last week, nothing's changed from what I said last week. If this does happen, then it's a positive move for the football club, which is the most important thing. Everyone knows that Roland's trying to sell the club, and there's a group disagree the fee, so that's great. It's got to go through the EFL. I don't know what the protocol is for all that, but I know there's meetings and stuff, but these are things we can't control. Obviously, we all want it to happen, but until it does, until you get that rubber stamp, as you said, then we've just got to carry on normal and keep doing what we do every day. Nothing changes for us, so but hopefully it happens for everybody, you know.
Should it go through, there's been talk that you and your backroom staff would get new contracts. The new owners were at the game on Saturday. Have any approaches been made to you at all about new contracts?
There's been a very small discussion regarding that, just to say, look, this is what we want to do. We want to tie myself and the staff down. From what they say is that's the most important thing. So we'll see if that happens. Hopefully it does. But again, it's not in our control. But we've got a long way to go before we get to that. Obviously, the most important thing is that the club gets taken over and then we'll go from there.
I know these are early days and the I's have got to be dotted and the T's crossed, but it's been suggested a transfer kitty could be made available to you in January. What do you think of that?
Sounds good to me. Again, like it's positive. The things that we're hearing is positive stuff. Club getting taken over. Money to spend in January. Or the summer, new contracts for myself and the staff. So tying Lowell down, like all these things I'm hearing, but let's not all get carried away too soon. Like, honestly, believe it, it has to be done first. I hope it does. I hope it does get done. But if it does, then it's all positive, and the club can move forward. Like I said, like nothing changes with me like this. I want the club to be successful. That's why I've stayed here. So I think everybody knows that there's been opportunities to go elsewhere, and I've chosen to stay. So hopefully that loyalty gets repaid.
There we go, Lee Bowyer. I mean, revealing what we already knew anyway, that he did have chances to go elsewhere. You remember the Huddersfield job, the Cardiff job, both came up, and his name was linked without anything ever happening in the end. But that's one of the main things. I mean, getting Bowes and his team on a contract is so important, and that seems to be one of the first aims of this new lot. And so, I mean, just show that they're gonna start off on a sensible footing if they can get that over the line once they're in.
Yeah. And again, we compare it back to when Rowland came in and he got rid of a manager who's a club legend here and sold two of our best players within a few months. For me, Bowyer's crucial to everything that's happening at Charlton at the moment. You look at, first of all, the pull he has in terms of the players that want to come and play under him. Secondly, you look at the players that come here and improve as a result of playing under him. And then when you combine him with Jacko, whose set pieces have just been really crucial to us over the past 2 years, and Gallen, whose recruitment record is pretty much faultless, I think they've got the makings there of a very good side. You look at Andy Marshall and the work he's done with Dills, and the improvements he's made to his game as well. Obviously bringing Grant Basie in now as a coach. It's just got a real Charlton feel to it, which is understandable when you read those names out. And it's everything that this club kind of has been about for a long, long time. So for me, you don't mess with that. And again, we go back to the start of the Rowland regime, and that's what happened. They rocked that boat, and yes, Riga came in and just about survived, pulled us through that year, but look where we went after that. So for me, it's all about stability now. It's about harnessing what we've already got, and then, as I say, just providing some extra support to that, because Bowyer doesn't need much else, really. He's doing a brilliant job already. Just think what he could do with a few million quid just to add a few more assets, because the only time we've really struggled at the moment is when those injuries have come in.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned about the money. I mean, Bowyer said there will be some available to him in January or the summer. I mean, it sounds like a sort of thing that would be a good laugh, but I mean, you don't want to go out into January and spend 30 million, like spend stupid amounts of money on players who, you know, just because you can now. I mean, and you trust that Bowyer will be, I mean, he's shown he can be sensible when he's got no money. You trust he'll be sensible with some money. He'll be shopping in a slightly different aisle, perhaps, to the one that he had been before. But you still got to think about all these other things, the character of the players, you know, how they're going to fit into the work ethic that the squad has shown that they have so far. All that sort of stuff. It's not just about going out and throwing £50 million at the, you know, some washed up Premier League star.
Definitely. And again, if we go back to the previous regime, we bought some good players in. Johan Berg-Gudmundsson was a very good player, and probably, I think, had quite a good work ethic here as well. But it was no good when you had the other players around him who were no good. You had the Thurams coming in. So I think we need to be careful. January, for me, is about making sure we've got enough to get through this season and stay up for me. That's all I'm concerned about. And that means bringing a few more bodies in. I think even if we'd just lost two or three players through this time, we still would have struggled because the quality drops off a little bit. Obviously, the injury crisis as it is at the moment is fairly unprecedented and, touch wood, unlikely to happen again. But we do need a few more bodies in so that people like James Vennings aren't going to have to come in and play, with the greatest of respect to him, because he's just not ready to do that yet, although he actually handled himself pretty well at the weekend. So for me, that's what January's for. And then you give Gallen from January through to the summer, if he's not already working at it, to sit down with the owners, say, look, these are the sort of players I want. Give him so much time. Let him know what his budget is now. And then we can start to plan properly. Because if we can do the retaining work in January, so keeping Bowes, keeping the likes of Lyle Taylor, keeping those players that are on loan and making sure they don't get recalled to their parent clubs, then when you get to the summer, if we've had an okay season, we've already got those in the bank, and then you go, right, who are we going to go out and get now, and what's our team going to be next season? So for me, it's hanging on till the summer and just doing the little bits in January, the patching up, if you like, to get us through to the end of the season.
Yeah, well, there's another job now for Lee Bowyer to be linked with, because breaking news is that Everton have finally sacked Marco Silva. Yeah, but they have just been announced on the Telegraph website. You mentioned the likes of Taylor. Now, I mean, it completely changes the ballpark for the club in terms of that we can keep players who previously wanted away. But we just did have an interesting tweet that came in from Hendrik Johan. Says, all the takeover chat seems to have gone to a certain player's heads. Does Taylor forget that he didn't want to play for us? He didn't want to know the club, didn't care about the fans. He wanted out. We want players who want to play for the club, whatever the situation. So, of course, we remember that he was heavily linked with a move away to Brentford at the end of the summer transfer window. I mean, Lee Bowyer even effectively said in an interview that the player was interested in the move. But, I mean, Lyle Taylor's still here after that transfer window closed. He scored, was it 5 goals in 6 games at the start of the season? He certainly didn't shirk from his responsibility when he did stay here. But Hendrick's suggesting that he's not too keen to see Lyle Taylor perhaps signing a new contract, I'm guessing, because he wanted out in the summer. What do you think about that?
I think Lyle Taylor's a funny one. He can upset some people. He's controversial. He's opinionated. And particularly whilst he's injured, he's got a lot of time on his hands as well. So I can see, look, he's going to blow hot and cold with some people. Going back to the summer move, you've got to look at the facts there. You've got a player who is in a team who we're expecting to really struggle and battle at the bottom of the table. He gets an offer reportedly coming in to change his wages beyond, you know, his expectations. When you think a year before us, he was down at Wimbledon, and he has a chance to make some life-changing money for himself when he's at the latter end of his career. So you take that and you think, well, what would I do in that situation? I don't think we could have begrudged him wanting to make that move. He doesn't get to make it for whatever reason. He stays here. As you said, he starts scoring goals and he doesn't shirk his responsibility. I remember that first game when he came out of the tunnel here after all of that, and I wondered what sort of reception he'd get, and he didn't look too happy. But he quickly kind of got back into his stride, got back amongst the goals. I wonder whether the injury has humbled him a little bit as well, in the sense that maybe he looks at what the club are doing for him in terms of his rehab, and perhaps he's a bit grateful for that. And if we're able to put a contract in front of him, I'm not going to necessarily state we would be offering whatever Brentford were, and I don't know what that was. But if we're able to offer him a slightly improved deal, and one that he thinks, you know what, that's going to set me up pretty well as well, then maybe he doesn't have so much of a reason to want to leave. So I completely get why some fans find him difficult or frustrating. But in terms of what he does on the pitch, you can't really question it. His record's impeccable. And if we were to offer him a new contract and he signed, I'd be delighted, because okay, we haven't necessarily struggled for goals since he's been out of the side, but he's still a massive part of that side.
Now, is a bit of fun. El Adic Espanol has tweeted in the following. Lo más importante es que los nuevos dueños estén pacientes con vos, dada nuestras lesiones. And luckily, I'm fluent in Spanish. That means the most important thing is that the new owners are patient with Bo, given our injuries. Yeah, there is a translate button on Twitter, thankfully. Right, yeah, you can't argue with that. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit about those injuries. Lee Bowyer telling us who may well be able to return for Saturday's trip up to the Riverside Stadium.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers the header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's it! Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Jones have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in!
Come on! What a time to be a hero here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live. It's the big match preview live on your Thursday evening or via the podcast afterwards, of course. As we heard there from El Adic Espanyol, Charlton have, of course, been suffering with a horrible injury crisis over the last few weeks. We saw a number of youth players involved in the game against Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. Players throwing up at half-time as well in the form of Abby Morgan, other ones crying off sick on the morning of the game. So we really haven't had much luck with injuries. But during Lee Bowyer's press day today, the Addicts boss was finally able to bring us some good news ahead of Saturday's trip up to the Riverside Stadium.
We've got a couple come back, so Lowe and Chucks hopefully will be on the bench. If they can get through today and tomorrow, then them two will be on the bench. They've been outside a while now, running and doing everything they need to do out on a training pitch before joining in with us. Today is the first day they're going to join in with us, so obviously when they come back, it's can't go mad, can't just chuck them in, there you go and play 90 minutes. We have to do it the right way, but the most important thing is that they're back in amongst the group.
List of injured players: Josh Cullen, no chance?
No, Josh is going to be out a long time, weeks and weeks, so
we're not going to see him until the new year?
No, Josh won't be back before Christmas, no.
Johnny Williams?
Yep, hopeful. From what I hear, he should be in and around next week, whole. Again, he's outside running, but he's not ready to come with us yet, so we're hopeful that maybe whole, he'll be back in and amongst it for whole. So, yeah.
Jason Pearce
is good.
Oh, he's fit. I thought he was carrying an injury.
Jason Pearce? No injury. Jason obviously played Saturday, then Tuesday, 290 minutes, and we all know Jason, that he puts his body on the line and gives everything all game. So then if we'd have played him on the Saturday as well, I think we'd have been a chance that he would have got injured. So that's why he didn't play. He hadn't done nothing wrong. He was just trying to prevent another injury. So he wasn't injured, but I just didn't want to take that risk with him.
And last but by no means least, Jake Forster-Caskey.
He's going to be a while as well. Hamstring, but it's not a good hamstring. So, he's going to be a good few weeks yet.
And can you clarify the situation regarding Brighton loan players, Tomer Hemed and Behram Kayel, who have suffered long-term injuries? Are they anywhere near being fit for you?
Well, yeah, so Tomer, we all know what happened with Tomer. Tomer came, he got a... I think it was like a slight groin, and then he came back and then he came on off the bench for 10 minutes and then broke down, so that's why he's been out. And then now he's outside again running. Again, a lot of them are outside running and trying to get their fitness up before they come back to us, because the intensity is really high with the training. So Tamer's on his way back. Kyle's back at Brighton, getting treatment there. On the last international break, he got injured, and he's had an injection. So hopefully he's not too long.
So there we go, Lee Bowyer giving us the updates on the injuries. Quite a few to catch up with there, as is always the case, unfortunately. But... positive news in terms of Lyle Taylor coming back Saturday. Probably be on the bench, same as Chucks and EK. Obviously, Hendrick won't be too happy about the Lyle Taylor news, but the rest of us will be. And, he could be a real... It could be a real big time for him to come back with us, in this... we have to say a poor run of results now. Not necessarily a poor run of performances, but with the injuries we've had, we haven't been quite getting the results. We haven't been able to see out games that we want to, and Lyle could just be a massive difference for us.
Yeah, we've said plenty of times over the last few weeks that the quicker we just get that win, however we get it, the better. I think we'd all pretty much written the Sheffield Wednesday game off, if we're honest. Particularly that takeover comes in, you go, do you know what, I don't care about the result anyway. And then when you look at that bench we had, when we had three youth players on a five-man bench and two youth players starting, you think, well, this is going to be tough. when actually you look back at the game and we were in it for large parts. So yeah, it's absolutely massive. It'll be massive around the dressing room, around the training ground, just having back. Because as I said earlier, he's a huge personality. And, you know, if he gets the chance to come on away at Middlesbrough or back here on Tuesday, then you can imagine the crowd's reaction to him as well. I think that he's still our talisman. Whatever Macaulay Bond's done, and he's been absolutely fantastic these past few weeks. Lyle Taylor is Lyle Taylor. He's going to be, you know, brash, and he's going to put himself around, and he's going to be that character on the pitch up the top. And I think Bowyer mentioned it himself. You know, Macaulay's done fine, but the work rate that Lyle Taylor has is pretty much unparalleled across the squad. So yeah, it'll be a massive boost. I'll be surprised. Unless we're kind of 1-0 down with 10 minutes left, I'd be surprised if Bowyer risks him on Saturday. But then Tuesday and Friday over next week, I'd expect him to get some minutes.
Yeah, Chucks and Ike, another one who perhaps hasn't hit the heights yet. I mean, Bowyer was saying to Richard Corley earlier that we haven't seen him fully fit. So I think that possibly... I mean, because don't forget, there was a couple of performances at the start of the season. Reading away, Barnsley away, Stoke at home, where he scored. You know, where he looked okay, but then we have to admit he did... sort of flatter to deceive a little bit in some of his later substitute appearances. You know, we know now he's been unfit, which kind of helped. But he's a player who will be hoping once he regains a bit of fitness that he can really hit the ground running. And we need him to. You know, we're coming into a really busy period of games now. It doesn't help the fact that we've got to play two midweek games next week, Tuesday and Friday night. So very little turnaround. The squad's going to be stretched to its limits anyway. So another man, you know, we're hopeful will be able to just make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see him start. I just had a quick look. He's had 11 appearances for us and obviously not started a single one yet. I can't see Bowyer changing that until he's happy that he's fully fit. And you're right, it's been a mixed bag. I can think, name three performances there. There's maybe one other where he's looked okay. So even if we take four, that's seven performances where we just haven't really seen enough of him. Having said that, it's tough coming on as a substitute. You're not going to be able to change every single game, unfortunately. But he has shown in those three or four games we mentioned, you know, the Reading game, he took that by the scruff of the neck. We were after that second goal because we dominated large parts of that game and just couldn't get that cushion. And he came on and completely transformed that game. As you say, the Stoke game came on, just no one could get near him and he got himself a deserved goal. And the same at Barnsley away as well. Obviously not scoring, but in terms of the impact he made. So he's shown he can do it. We know he can do it from his time at his previous club as well. So we know there's a good player in there. It's just about getting those minutes now. And again, similar to Lyle, I don't think he's someone that's going to start, certainly not on Saturday. And I don't think he'll start probably over the rest of the week either. But again, just another body that we can have on the bench. So you're not having to throw on a Josh Davison, for example. Josh, has done fine, but we go back to the Carlin Grant scenario. You just don't want to have to keep doing that with these youngsters, and the more players that come back, the better.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Williams is another one who perhaps will be back towards the end of next week. Like I say, we've got those two games, Huddersfield Tuesday, Hull on Friday. For Hull on Friday. Now, interesting news perhaps about one of Johnny Williams' Welsh teammates, actually, Joe Ledley, former Derby, Celtic, Palace and Cardiff midfielder. He has been training with the club. I know that rumour's been going around, but he has been training. Now, what we don't know is whether it's just a case of a mate of Johnny Williams coming in to get a bit of fitness, or if it's something that Bay is legitimately having a look at. But it's interesting to see he's training with us. I mean, I think, was it Gary O'Neill we had training with us at one point last year? And we were like, why are we going to sign a 36-year-old? We weren't. He was just there to get fitness. It does happen. But he has been training. So, I mean, I guess, you know, player who's played in the Welsh squad as well, Tom, so you know him well. Impressive beard, which is always something you worry about. I mean, would he be able to add something to it? I mean, fitness-wise, he's going to be well behind, having not had a club this season, so I can't imagine anything would happen soon. But, I mean, if the reason he is there is a player being looked at properly rather than just training, which my guess is he's just training, but is there a player in there that could be a useful addition to the squad?
Definitely there is. He's so well-known for his fitness, so at Cardiff in particular, I remember, I think it might have even been Warnock back in the day, just said, look, he'll run forever. He's very similar to Prattley in that mould that, yes, he's 32, 33 now, but I can imagine if he gets up to speed, if he can get that fitness back, he can run all day long. I wouldn't expect him and Prattley to ever be in the same side if he was to sign, but it would just be, again, someone else that we'd have a bit more strength in depth in that area. He's good on the ball. He's good at breaking up play and then looking to distribute the ball forwards. Similar to Darren Prattley, weighs in with the odd goal. But yeah, he's someone I'd certainly like to see in there. I know our midfield, when it's all fully fit, is competitive, but You look at the injury we've taken to Cullen now, and again, we've spoken about this in recent weeks. Cullen and Pratley aren't like for like at all, but Pratley's really the only one you can think of that's going to sit regularly at the base of that midfield with Kyle injured and Cullen injured.
Yeah, and Field as well, yeah.
Yeah, so you wonder if perhaps he could come in and do a job there on a short-term contract or something. As I say, I don't think he's one for the long term, but he'd had a bit of experience in that area, and we've heard from players and seen firsthand the difference Pratley's made to those youngsters, so I don't think there's any harm in him being around the squad at all. And if Bowyer rates his fitness, which, as I say, Ledley's certainly in the past shown that he can, you know, run that engine room, if you like, then I think he'd be an interesting option.
Obviously, like we said, with the injuries, the two Brighton lads as well. It was quite funny that Tony had added another injury to the squad with Jason Pearce. It's like, no, Tony, stop making them up. We've got enough as it is. The two Brighton lads, they've been a frustration, haven't they? Kyle's back with Brighton now, having his injury assessed. It doesn't sound too good. Hemed's not a million miles away, back out running again, so probably 2 weeks away maybe. But I mean, there's two players who have been pretty frustrating so far with injuries, and when they have had time on the pitch, they haven't really had a run of games to get into their stride. So it'd be interesting to see what happens especially with Kyle, if his injury is that bad, whether they return or not.
I think, yeah, frustrating's maybe being a bit kind to them. Hemed, I didn't know a huge amount about before he came in, if I'm being completely honest. I know his goal scoring record isn't amazing, but I was just pleased we got a striker through the door, because it didn't look like that was really going to happen. Kyle, I was really excited by. There was talk of him, just his ability on the ball being outstanding. And maybe it's just their lack of pre-season. They've both just really struggled to adapt. Hemed, I don't think quite fits the style that we want to play, which is strange, because he seems to be quite a big lad and could maybe do this kind of Lyle Taylor role, but just hasn't really got close to it. Again, hasn't had a lot of minutes. And Kyle, when he's come on, as I say, you look at him and you think you're the sort of Rolls-Royce player who can spray that ball around. He just hasn't really done it. We've seen him misplace pass after pass in games. And again, maybe it's just because he's not up to speed, but I don't think there's many people in the fan base who would say either of them have done enough to warrant anything longer than the season. So if they're both injured, then yeah, obviously Kyle, maybe it's something we end in January if we can. Free up some space to get someone else in. Hemed, we've got for the season, haven't we, I think. So, you know, get him back fit and maybe he's an option off the bench again. Avoids having someone like Davison having to play. But, yeah, so far neither of them have really impressed.
Right, let's have a quick break here on the big match preview. When we come back, we're going to hear from Deji Oshelaja. Take some time to look how far we've come. Remember that we got love. Yeah, it's okay, cause we got love. We got love. It's okay, cause we got love. Pachon can play on here as Kyle has the ball. Bon over to the left hand side. Kyle finds him, and Bentley's coming out of his goal, and Bon's got past him. Bon with the charge. Yeah! Bon with the goal!
Oh, what a goal!
End to end stuff here at Ashton Gate, and Macaulay Bon gets another goal. Bentley, for whatever reason, came out of his goal. Bon gets there first, and with a tiny left footed finish, and end to end stuff, Pachon have the lead. Welcome back. It's Charlton Live, the big match preview on your Thursday evening. Don't forget, we'll be back here on Sunday to look back at whatever happens up at the Riverside as we go on to face Middlesbrough. We're going to hear from Dom Shaw from the Teesside Live and the Gazette up there later on. Tells us a little bit how Jonathan Woodgate's side have been getting on. Not very well, actually. So I imagine, but you'll be targeting something up there. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a few seconds, because now we want to hear from Deji Oshelaja, the defender signed for us, didn't he, from AFC Wimbledon in the summer. Can play at right back or at centre half, and turns out he can also play at defensive midfield when we have a hole to fill. He's played there a couple of times, hasn't he, in the last week, the last two home games. Done well, but obviously we haven't been able to get a win in either of those games, the latest of which was that 3-1 defeat against Sheffield Wednesday last Saturday. And Deji Oshelaja came to speak to Terry at the summer signing, was disappointed to come out on the losing side once again last weekend against the Owls.
No, obviously everyone's disappointed, you know, everyone's down. Obviously it's a game that we thought we could have won, and again, like we thought, at least we get a draw. But again, it's football, you know, obviously we'll move on and we'll continue to grow, you know. Obviously everyone knows our situation in terms of the injuries and the sicknesses, but we don't really use it as an excuse, you know. We just say it as it is, really, and that's the facts of the situation that we're in. But obviously we're a strong group and we'll deal with it, and we'll get ready during the week now for the next game.
Got caught cold in with a crossfield ball in the first quarter of an hour, but got back into the game well and played some lovely football to get back on the level terms. I guess at that point today you must have thought you were in with a good shout for a result.
Yeah, of course, you know. We know we're a good team, you know, and whether the manager puts out, I'm sure they'll be able to play football because that's what the manager wants, you know. But yeah, again, there's going to be spells in games when both teams have a bit of the ball, you know, and they had their patch, we had our bit. Obviously, we scored our goal, and we're hoping to capitalise on that, but we couldn't today. But, you know, we'll continue to work at it and we'll continue to improve.
For yourself, it must be a slightly strange feeling because you've come in at the side and played well. Most people would agree that you're putting some decent performances. So it's a double-edged sword. You've come in, played quite well, but the team's just not quite getting the results.
Yeah, of course not. For me, obviously, I wanted to play as many as possible and try to stay as fit as possible, you know. Listen, the boys have done well, the boys have been excellent, you know. Whoever's come in, everyone's done very well, I believe in it. Obviously, we're going through a bit of a tough patch, but I believe we're strong enough and we've got good characters and just them that will help us turn it around as a collective, you know. But obviously, we'll continue to work, I'll continue to improve, and I'm sure as a team, we'll continue to get better.
You see, with the injuries and the illnesses and things that were going on behind the scenes at the club, having to bring in young kids, maybe not in an ideal situation, but it just shows that there is a possibility at Cheltenham for youngsters if they're patient and they're good enough.
Yeah, of course, you know. I think the young lads that came on today were excellent as well, you know. I thought, obviously, ideally, we would have had the players to obviously play our players, but then, listen, they got thrown in. And I think every game that they played, they've been excellent. You know, I think Alfie today was excellent. I think Josh came and held the ball. Well, I think even young James Venons as well was good as well, you know. So I think there's positives in the academy. And obviously it shows that there's a pathway through here at Cheltenham. I think everyone knew that anyway, you know. A lot of players do come through here. So I think that'll give the young boys extra incentives to continue to work hard.
Are the players able to step back and look at it and think, well, even with, you know, the threadbare side and having to put out, you know, only five subs, we're not getting hammered, you know. That third goal today came in the last second, so you know, you discount that. But it's, you know, we're still running teams close, even with the injury list.
Yeah, of course. But again, it's still a loss, though. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So obviously, like, we're very tough on ourselves, and we expect of a high level for ourselves. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, so regardless, yeah, right. We're not getting pumped, but we believe that win every game, regardless of who we put out, that we shouldn't be able to get pumped. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we were strong defensively, and we got good players going forward. You know, so I think we'll always score goals. We just need to obviously tighten up. And I think that will come, you know, once we get out of this little dry patch, and then we'll continue to work at it during the week, and then we'll just go again on the weekend, really.
Obviously, big news from behind the scenes circling around the club. Have you been able to concentrate and focus on the football with all the news from behind the scenes coming up?
Yeah, it's been pretty easy, you know. The manager obviously speaks to us. The manager just tells us, listen, we'll just continue to do our work on the pitch. And that's the only bit that we can control, you know. And whatever happens at the back of the club, I'm not sure if it's confirmed yet or whatever. I'm sure it'll be great news for the club and great news for the fans, you know. But for us, our job is to obviously play football and help the team do well, basically. And that's literally been our main focus this whole week, you know. And then if anything happens from there on, then obviously we'll react accordingly.
If you finish a game like today and Luton just before, and then even Cardiff, even though we got a point, you look at that and you think, looking forward to playing you again with a full side out, and, you know, when we're at full strength, and just so we can show you what we're really about.
Yeah, of course, you know. And obviously, it's one of them ones, obviously we went there with a team full of injuries, basically. But yeah, it's one of the ones we'll look forward to playing them again, because we believe we can beat anyone in this league, you know what I mean, with a full squad team. And even with the players that we put out today, we still believe that we had a strong performance. And I believe we've been putting a strong performance, we just haven't managed to get the result that we deserve or we believe we could deserve. But again, we'll, like I said before, we'll continue to work. And yeah, we'll look forward to obviously getting a replay and getting one back at them.
So there we go. That's Deji Oshelaja speaking to Terry after last week's home defeat against Sheffield Wednesday, and obviously discusses about how the players have to deal with the external pressures of the takeover that's going through at the moment, and the illness that was amongst the squad and the injury crisis. Tom, you look bemused by the injury crisis. That look on your face was...
Yeah, that's what I'm bemused about.
Yeah, not a video of a certain former Watford chairman that's currently going around. But yeah... Deji, let's talk about him first of all. I like him. I think he's got something about him.
Yeah, I like him. He's versatile, and that always sort of player I like, because he can pretty much come in and play in a variety of positions. As you said just before we heard his interview there, he seems like a great character. Every time the crowd are singing that song about him, even if he's in the middle of playing the game, you see his little smile and he's laughing along. He just seems to really enjoy playing the game. And yeah, he's a player that I like. I think he can do a job for us. He's probably not the strongest player in any of the positions, but he's someone that can come in and is more than competent in doing it, and someone I'd like when I'm talking about in the summer maybe clearing out some of the players, he's not one I would certainly like to keep him, because I think he's a useful player for us, and the more minutes he gets, the better he looks for us, I think.
Yeah, and we needed some versatility in that midfield, and he's provided that so far. He's he had a good shot last week as well. I'm trying to remember. I think he scored against us for FC Wimbledon a couple of seasons ago.
I think he did as well.
Yeah, so maybe he could be the an answer for if we need a goal from midfield on Saturday as well.
But
I like the way he moves around the pitch. And obviously he talks about the young players have come in and performed well. And we'll talk a little bit more about who we'd like to see in again on Saturday. But he says about the illness as well. He says how the players aren't going to allow themselves to use that as an excuse. And we've seen in, like I say, most of the performances we've had good spells. Sheffield Wednesday, I thought we more than held our own. Luton perhaps were a little bit off the boil at times, but then ended reasonably strongly, forcing a few chances. Cardiff, we were 2-0 up at the break, and we've had other games where we've been in it. It's just, you know, the players aren't letting that be an excuse in terms of they're getting into games and staying in games, but they just do run out of steam. And I do wonder if there has been times when Bailly would love to be able to bring on a different option from the bench than he's been able to, for example, over the last few weeks. And whereas the players might not use it as an excuse, I mean, as fans looking from outside, we can totally understand why, when you have an injury crisis, an illness crisis and suspensions, as we've got Saturday, Tom Lockie is out Saturday, of course, you can understand why results tend to tail off in that sort of situation.
Yeah, I think it's the sort of spirit that Bowie's created amongst the squad. We've spoken about it time after time, that they're not a squad that look for excuses. If a different era Charlton had come out and said the same things, you'd be saying the exact opposite. You'd be saying this is just an excuse, it's not good enough. But you can tell when these players go out there, they put 100% in. And if that only gets them through to 70, 75 minutes because they've all got a bug and they're throwing up, then you have to hold your hands up and say, well, that's all they can do at the moment, given the difficult circumstances. They're not going to make excuses. I think you could count the bad performances we've had on this season on one hand. Luton, Wigan, Preston, maybe Millwall. But we've just been slightly outclassed by a team with either Premier League quality a lot of the time or just that little extra bit of fitness as a result of having more squad rotation. So I hopefully speak for the majority of fans when I say I'm not blaming the players for any of our recent results. I think our performances, as you said earlier in the show, have been pretty solid. As I say, we've had three or four maybe dodgy performances all season. We're more than holding our own in a lot of the games. And when we get our first team back, you go back to the earlier parts of this season, some of the results we had and some of the performances we had, then we've shown we can compete with the teams, and I'm sure we will do again. So, yeah, it's been about riding this wave out. I said on Thursday's show last week that we had to just get through the Sheffield Wednesday game and things would start to turn. Didn't realise we'd get taken over the next day, but yeah, I think Huddersfield is the game we should start to target and start to build on. But as you say, even Middlesbrough, they're not in great form, so maybe we can nick some in there. But once players start coming back, I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, right. We're going to hear from Dom Shaw from the Teesside Online, Teesside Live and the Borough Gazette in a few moments' time after this quick break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview.
Live.
Right, welcome back. Hope that's got you in the Christmas spirit. Saturday, then, it's the long journey up to Middlesbrough, the Riverside Stadium, taking on a Borough side who have had a poor start to the season. They're just two places and 1 point above the drop zone in Jonathan Woodgate's first season as manager. I caught up with Dom Shaw from Teesside Live and the Gazette to find out about the season so far for Borough, and Dom does say it has been a difficult one so far in the North East.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, I think there was an acceptance at the start of this season that it was going to be a season of transition, and expectations perhaps weren't as high as they have been in previous years when promotion has been the obvious aim. But that said, nobody expected to be in the position they are now, even at the start of the season when, you know, results weren't great. I think there was kind of an expectance that they'd pick up, and they haven't. But, you know, Woodgate's adamant that results haven't been as good as what performance suests, and they should have picked up more points than they have done. But you know, that can only that sort of talk can only last for so long, I'd imagine. And there is an acceptance that they need to start winning games, obviously. Mm.
Well, where do you think it's gone wrong this season? Because obviously they were just outside the playoffs last season, decided to get rid of Tony Pulis and give Jonathan Woodgate his chance, but obviously it hasn't really gone to plan as of yet.
No, they're not scoring goals still. That was the problem last year. That's what cost them a place in the playoffs ultimately. At a long stage of the season, if you'd have said that Borough were going to miss out on the top six, you'd have been scoffed at, really. You know, they were, until probably January, February time, they looked to be in contention for top two, but they lost six on the bounce at the business end of the season, as I say, and didn't really recover. I did recover, but it was too late. But it was a missed chances that cost Borough then. You know, it was a standing joke that, you know, which chances would Tony Pulis come in and talk about after a game in his press conference, and Woodgate now knows the frustration that Pulis was feeling. Because I mean, I don't know whether you've seen him, but if you have a search for Ashley Fletcher's missed chance at Huddersfield, for example, you know, you give any championship centre forward that 100 times and you'd expect them to put it in 99 times. And, you know, that's a game they should have won. Other games, other examples, Brentford at the start of the season, they were unlucky to play Brentford off the park, really, and had two goals disallowed and then lost. They were 2-0 up and coasting against Hull, and Marvin Johnson gets sent off in the drop points there. So it's just one example after another, really. The injury list. And I realise there'd be no sympathy from Charlton, given the situation they've had over the last couple of weeks. But Borough have also had a number of key players out. They had eight, nine players missing at Leeds. On the bench at Leeds on Saturday, that they had the six outfield players, four of them had never played a minute in the Championship, and another had only made four appearances from the bench. I think the Barnsley game, the average age of the outfield players on the bench was 21, and that included 30-year-old Adam Clayton. So they do have real problems there. The squad was very thin at the start of the year. They lost a lot of senior players. Stuart Downing, John Obi Mikel, Aidan Flint, Jordan Hugo went back from his loan, Mo Besic went back, and the three players they signed were all 20 and 21-year-olds who were playing in League One last year. So there's a lack of depth there, and that's been really shown in the last few weeks with these injuries.
And how have the fans been treating Jonathan Woodgate? Has their patience start to run thin, or has he been given a little bit of almost a honeymoon period, of course, cause with it being his first managerial role?
In general, in the grounds, home and away, they've been very patient with him, and Woodgate appreciates that. He's, you know, thanked the fans at every given opportunity. There are rumblings. There's no getting away from that, particularly on social media. I always think it's dangerous to gauge, you know, the mood on social media. But Woodgate knows that, you know, he's the first to admit that although he's a Borough lad and played for them and grew up in the area, he's the first to admit that there are a large group of Borough fans. I don't know whether you'd say the majority, but there's certainly a large proportion of the fans who didn't want him in the first place to get the job, who kind of wanted, you know, something fresh, would get being part of Pulis' coaching squad. So he knows that. He admitted that from day one, and he said that he knew he had to get those fans on side. He did that well in the summer because he spoke really well, really passionately. But there was an aim to what he was saying. It wasn't just all passion and drive in the summer when he was talking about his hope to play attacking football and to bring in young players on an upward trajectory in their career and to give academy players a chance. But ultimately, as we all know, it's a results business, isn't it? And I think the problem he had is he admits that it's been harder than he expected to turn pragmatic defensive football into kind of free flowing attacking football, and they're not winning games. So it's he knows that he needs to start winning.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Middlesbrough picked up a few younger players in the summer. One of those, of course, was Anthony Dicksteel from Charlton. How's Anthony got on since he's moved up to the North East?
He struggled, really. I mean, I haven't seen the best of him. I mean, all three of the players who came in, you could probably say that Dicksteel's been the best of the three, although that isn't particularly difficult. Mark Bowler, who was signed from Blackpool, has really struggled, and he's probably fourth or fifth choice left back, although he did play at Leeds on Saturday because George Friend, Hayden Coulson and Marvin Johnson were all unavailable. Marcus Brown, who they signed, who was on loan at Oxford last year, hasn't really done it, seen in flashes. So I think has played more than the other two. But he hasn't looked particularly comfortable or convincing. I know he was brought in as a right back, and there was a lot made about the fact that he was Woodgate's first choice right back target. Although I gather he played most of his football for Charlton in midfield, and he only moved to right back at kind of the back end of last season. But it's still very much a work in progress with him. I think the problem is there's an acceptance with the players who came in that, you know, the needs to be patience. But because of how thin the squad is and because of the lack of options, they don't really have that, so they kind of need the players to step up now. He's injured now. He's out for, it was a month, been out about a week, so probably three more weeks. He's going to miss the festive period. He got injured again for Barnsley last week, which was just kind of another the latest blow for Woodgate. But that's coming a bad time for him, because it was a chance to really nail down a spot. I mean, he's been playing Johnny Howson now. He was a midfielder. He's been playing Howson at right wing back instead of Dick Steele, which is probably a damning indictment in itself. Mm. But because of the injuries, Howson has had to be used as a centre-half, which kind of, you know, this was Dick Steele's opportunity. But as I say, he wasn't particularly taking it, and now he's not going to have the chance to take it because he's out injured.
Yeah, and so finally, just looking ahead to Saturday's game, who are the danger men that the Charlton fans should be wary of within the Middlesbrough side?
Well, obviously, Brutus Ombolonga's kind of got an unrivaled goal record at this level. He's scored only six this year, but that's more than a third of Borough's tally. And, you know, there aren't many Championship managers, if any, who wouldn't have him in their team. The problem is he was injured against Leeds on Saturday. He played despite his injury, which again reflects the injury problems Borough have in general. He's got an ankle problem. But if he's on song, and he has been playing well of late, he's the man to watch. Paddy McNair has been Borough's best player this season, but he's injured and suspended, so he's going to be unavailable. Ashley Fletcher, you know, him and Ombolonga have a good partnership up front, and we've seen that starting to work of late. So if them two are playing, then hopefully they can build on that. And last season, Lewis Wing was Borough's kind of real standout player. Kenny Stiller, either signed him from the non-league. He was playing non-league and working night shifts in a shower factory, and Borough signed him because they liked what they'd seen in a trial game, and he ended up becoming probably their best player last year. But he hasn't quite hit those heights this season. Second season, he struggled a bit, and he's playing in a holding more defensive role, which probably doesn't get the best out of him. But he tries to pull the strings. He's dangerous from distance. He doesn't need a second invite to pull the trigger, so he's worth watching as well.
There we go. Thanks to Dom Shaw from Teesside Live and the Gazette, Middlesbrough expert on this evening's show. Borough struggling. One win in the last 12 and, not going too well. Interesting about Anthony Dick still. Surprised to hear hasn't exactly hit the ground running up there. I was probably expecting a bit more from him.
Yeah, I've got a mate who's a Middlesbrough fan and met up with him the other week, and he said, "How on earth did you sell him to us for the money you did?" He's someone who I liked here, but I didn't think he was worth what was reportedly paid for him. He's obviously young and perhaps got a bright future ahead of him, but even here he had performances where I thought, I don't really see what he's offering us. So I'm not largely surprised that he hasn't been brilliant, but I'm sure they've bought him for the long term, so he might be someone that improves. But you're right, they're a team that have really struggled under Woodgate, who's obviously a legend there, which is perhaps why he's been granted that bit of time to try and turn things around. And have that kind of transition season. But yeah, their run is poor. I said that before last week, and I said if you're on a poor run, you come and play Charlton, because chances are you'll get yourselves out of it. And obviously Sheffield Wednesday did that, and we hope Borough won't. But again, as we've spoken about earlier in the show, it's going to be another youthful kind of patched together side from our side, but it sounds pretty similar up there as well. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Jonathan Woodgate there. The Borough manager, of course, is a former teammate of Lee Bowyer, and the Addicts boss is looking forward to seeing a man he knows well.
Yeah, we should do. We played together and travelled all over Europe together. So, looking forward to seeing Jonathan again the weekend. Robbie Keane's is number two, so obviously he was at Leeds as well when we played there. So it'd be nice to see them, and it's going to be a tough game. You know, it's never easy going there. It's a tough place to go, but we're turning up and we're trying to do our best, I'm sure.
Yeah, Bo, you're saying it's a very tough place to go, especially with the injury crisis we've got. Now, you're looking at the side that, that perhaps maybe even started a game against Sheffield Wednesday last week, and you're wondering, you know, of those youth players in particular, who would you like to see in? Don't forget, Tom Lockyer is out suspended, so likely to see a back four, I guess, unless Prattley drops in to make it a five with three centre-halves, but... Saar and Pearce in the centre of defence, you're guessing. Now, you know, the standout player for me last week was young Alfie Doughty. Mm. One you'd like to see starting again?
I think one that probably will start again, because I don't think we've got a lot of choice. I watched the game. I wasn't able to be here, unfortunately, Saturday, but watched the game back and thought he was outstanding. I mean, the goal itself, obviously, with the touch through the player and round and the assist for Bomb, but... I thought just in general his overall play just seemed to have so much energy and make the right decision a lot of times, which is not something you often see with young players. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see how he gets on. I think the sooner we get players back and can give them a rest, the better, because we don't want to overplay these players, as we've spoken about plenty of times. But I think he's someone that will start Saturday and someone that Borough probably won't know a huge amount about. You talk about the back four there, I think. Much like you say, I think it probably will be a back four unless Deji slots into a back three again. But I expect obviously Pearce to come back in unless Tony Hudd's two-footed in by then and made him injured. But I think probably a back four and then some sort of maybe a diamond midfield. Doughty out on the left of that possibly. And then I would imagine Bon and Lecco up front.
Yeah, it is one of those ones where still the team very much picks itself because, I mean, yeah. Even the bodies coming back, the likes of Taylor and Anike will only be fit for the bench. Exactly. So, but it does mean if we're losing 1-0 with 15 minutes left, chuck him on. Lyle Taylor, chuck on Chucks Anike, see what you can do. If we're 3-0 up and coasting with 20 minutes left, I can't imagine we'll be desperate to throw him on unless it's just to get a little bit of minutes. But, you know, at least now you're looking at a bench that's only had five on last time out with a chance to try and change something from there.
Yeah, and I think as well, you look at the players that we've got there. We spoke about Deji Oshalaja being versatile, but Prattley, which was just spoken about there, could play in the middle of a back three, could play defensive midfield. Doughty was playing left wing back, wasn't he, at the weekend, and can play further forward. Saar's played at left back before. You've got Solly and Matthews in terms of the right. Deji could go over to the right as well. So there is still options in there in terms of changing up formations as well. So if you need to slot an EK in there in a sort of number 10 role, maybe you can move people around to accommodate that. So, yeah, I think largely the starting 11 probably does pick itself. But then, as you say, it's looking at that depth. First of all, can we fill the bench? And second of all, when we are 1-0 down, if we are 1-0 down, which hopefully we're not with 10 minutes left, rather than having to look to someone like a James Vennings or Josh Davison, we can look at someone like Lyle Taylor and go, right, get yourself back in the fans' good books again and score yourself a goal and get back on that run.
Yeah, only ever one win for the Addicts up at the Riverside Stadium. 3-0 Premier League victory back in August 2005. Dennis Romadell, Chris Perry, of all people, and Darren Bent with the goals. We've lost on each of our last three occasions that we've gone up to the Riverside. We've lost, I think something like five out of our last six there as well. Just a 2-2 draw in the season, first season back up in the Championship with Powerly is the only time we've got any form of result up there. Carol Fry's first game as Charlton manager was up at the
Great
Riverside.
Days.
Yeah, we on Halloween we lost 3-0 as well. I mentioned Dennis Romadell there. We should actually highlight. It's a great day to be an Addicts fan. 5th of December, of course, the 27th now anniversary of the return to the Valley. So many good things have happened on this day to Charlton. So obviously back at the Valley, our last win at Millwall was on the 5th of December in 1995 when Kim Grant scored the goals. We won at Chelsea when Kevin Lisby scored late on. I think that was about 2002-2003. Won the win over Blackburn in our relegation season when Talao El Khoury scored a last minute free kick as well. So it's a great day to be a Charlton fan and one that's always celebrated. Dennis Romadell, of course, scoring that winner against Palace that same day as Back to the Valley Day as well, back in 2005, I think that was. So yeah, an excellent day. We should also mention the cup draw has come up. West Brom at home. Excited?
Buzzing.
Yeah. So we're now going to be playing West. I don't think the date as with the time we go to recording has actually been confirmed, but I'm guessing it's going to be the Sunday.
Right? Yeah.
So the first Sunday in the new year. Then the next Saturday, we're also at home to West Brom. So we're definitely playing them twice in a row. And if we draw the FA Cup game, the likelihood of the replays up at the Hawthorns is going to be the Tuesday after the league game. So we're possibly even going to play West Brom three times in a row. So that's something... to look forward to. Is that the right phrase?
Seb Lewis will go, won't he?
Yeah, well,
if nobody else.
Yeah, I'll go as well. I'll make up the numbers. So yeah. I mean, look, obviously, getting back to Saturday, Woodgate and Bowyer know each other well. They've been through a lot together as teammates, which almost goes without saying. Two rookie managers, one who's certainly taken to the job a lot better. Woodgate, I mean, he is under pressure. Bowyer, there'll be absolutely no room for sentiment when he goes up there. He'll want to stick the final nail in that coffin if he can do, because he'll want to go up there and get that 3 points that we need now. You know, it's been the last couple of weeks we're saying we need to start picking up results with or without the injury crisis, and we do need something Saturday now.
Yeah, 100%. It's the same as any of the ex-players as fans that we've seen come back. There's time for sentiment before and after the game, but as soon as that whistle blows, you all of that goes away. We've spoken about it the last few weeks. We need that win now. The form run, if you like, if you had a graph of the season, it would only be going one way. So we need to just turn that around again now. And if it goes up and down for a little bit, that's absolutely fine by me. But at the moment, we just need that one win. Like I said last week, I think if it comes off someone's backside or whatever it takes, we just need to secure that win. Because we've got a lot of games over the next month or so.
And Conor Gallagher's back as well, which, as we know, could be massive for returning from his suspension. Right, so let's have a prediction from Tom Wallin, the Welsh Wallin. Joe Ledley to score.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-0 Charlton win.
Lovely stuff. I will take that all day long. Right, we've come to the end of this week's big match preview here on Charlton Live. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you for listening all the way to the very end, the dying embers of the podcast. Thanks to Welshie Wallin for being here.
Cheers, Luke.
I've been Louis Mendes. Don't forget, we'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Middlesbrough up at the Riverside on Saturday. Make sure you get your reactions into studio at charltonlive.co.uk as soon as the game is finished. Let us know what you made of the performance up at the Riverside. Whatever happens in the end, let's hope it's 3 points for the Addicts, 3 points that we desperately need. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.